I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 9th, 2024, and the places that I got to know through Bald and Bankrupt, if you don't know his YouTube channel, it might be worth checking out because now it's a piece of history. The beautiful places in eastern Ukraine that he visited very frequently in his videos are now just a tomb, a shattered land, destroyed, the city's rubble, as you've seen in this tragic song. But what is it really about, this Ukraine conflict, which you are told is about preserving the Ukrainian people's sovereignty, and in spite of the fact that Western leaders have been attacking nationalism and have been attacking national identity for years now, we are supposed to forget all that and pretend that this is about Ukrainian freedom. Let me take you on a tour of what it's all about. Let me begin by saying that nothing that I present in this video is the least bit controversial. It is not conspiratorial. It is all publicly available information that you can verify yourself, in spite of the fact that your politicians and the media will never give you this nuanced information so that you can fully understand what is the fullness of the tragedy unfolding in Ukraine right now. Everything east of the line that I've drawn across the top of the Dnipro River is ethnically and culturally Russian-leaning. Everything west of the line tends to align with the West, and there is some interplay between the two. But what went on since 2014 and the coup in the East is something that no one wants to talk about, and that is the attempt by the current Ukrainian regime to stomp out Russian sentiment in the East using artillery shells, using propaganda, and using bullets to commit atrocity before the Russians were ever directly involved. And what was it that the Eastern Ukrainians did that so offended the Western-backed, installed, and illegal to this day regime that governs from Kiev? They wanted control of their own land, they wanted control of their own resources, and they wanted to do business and associate with their ethnic and cultural brothers and sisters in Russia. But the empire can't have that. U.S. Senator says Ukraine is gold mine with 12 trillion of minerals we can't afford to lose. And that's what this war is all about. Ukraine is not to be an independent nation, ever. It is to be a colony for the empire. The direct quotation from Lindsey Graham, which sums up what the West is willing to kill an entire generation of Ukrainian youth over, reads as follows. This is a very big deal how Ukraine ends. Let's help them win a war we can't afford to lose. Interesting language. Help them win a war we can't afford to lose. Let's find a solution to this war. But they're sitting on a gold mine. To give Putin 10 or 12 trillion of critical minerals that he will share with China is ridiculous. We in the West have to own those minerals. It's we who have to exploit the Ukrainian people. It's we who have to keep them in poverty so that our corporations can profit. Now, I want to remind you that Lindsey Graham and his ilk did not mind when China gutted the United States, when China took away all the manufacturing jobs, when China took over a large portion of Hollywood, which is why Hollywood is churning out such epic levels of destruction to the core culture that built America and that built the West. They didn't mind when your sovereignty was usurped. They didn't mind as long as it put money in their pockets. Their recent discovery that China actually exerts a bad influence on the United States isn't some revelation. They are the ones that allowed China to have that influence in the United States. They are the ones that fire-sold North America out from under us, because this isn't just a U.S. problem. Canada has the exact same problem. So when they virtue signal about the Ukrainian national spirit and identity and freedom, know that what they're talking about in truth is a war over who gets to dominate and destroy and exploit Ukraine as the years go by. Now, I think it is known, but it bears repeating, that life for the Ukrainian citizens has not been easy during the war, not just because the war is raging, because the Ukrainian government restricts elections, because the Ukrainian government has restricted freedom, because the Ukrainian government has restricted the Orthodox Church. The Ukrainian government is doing everything it can to stamp out every semblance of ethnic Russian culture. The Ukrainian government rounds up young men at the point of a gun, gives them very poor training, throws highly sophisticated, expensive Western weapons in their hands, throws them at the front where they die by the thousands on a daily basis in one of the greatest human tragedies, because the entire thing could be avoided. But what hasn't the Ukrainian government restricted? Ukrainian lawmakers have allowed the sale of agricultural land to foreign investors without restrictions. And they own a significant part of arable land in the country. It is already known that three companies have purchased 17 million hectares of Ukrainian land, more than half of all farmland. And these are at fire sale prices, because during the war, the justification of the war presents a golden opportunity to buy land at bargain basement prices. Because so long as the Ukrainian regime in Kiev can profit personally, the individuals profit personally, they couldn't care how cheaply they sell out the nation's heritage and legacy and future, because it's enriching them personally. 28% of Ukrainians' arable land belongs to a mixture consisting of Ukrainian oligarchs, European and North American companies, as well as the sovereign wealth fund of Saudi Arabia, because the Saudis are a very pro-Western regime as well. It was also reported that the majority of Ukrainian agricultural holdings are actually owned by American NCH Capital, French Agro Generation, German ADM, Germany, KWS, Bayer, BASF, Saudi PIF, and SALIC. It doesn't matter who these people are. You don't really care. What you need to know is that it's a fire sale. It's a fire sale that benefits Western Empire. That's what's really happening in Ukraine. And as this is going on, we have headlines out of the New York Times. Every dollar counts to pay for the war. Ukraine embraces privatization. Now, privatization is something that media organs and politicians demonize wherever it is discussed, particularly here in Canada. We can't even have private MRI clinics because it would threaten socialism. But in Ukraine, just like nationalism is supposed to be embraced in this one unique set of circumstances, so is privatization. They're selling off state-owned companies. They're selling off state-owned resources. And private Western interests will own those resources in perpetuity. And there's a lot of people in Ukraine who don't want that, but their voices are not represented. And a large part of that is why the war is being waged in the East in the first place. To provide just one present-day illustration, this is an article just from today up on Zero Hedge. Corrupt Ukrainian official son found lying in bed with huge sum of money. $6 million seized from medical fraud op. Now, this is just a locally born example of fraud. This guy provided documents so young Ukrainian men could avoid dying fruitlessly in a war they cannot win in the East. There he is, lying in a bed of the very money that I'm talking about in this video. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Do you want to know where all those aid dollars being sent from the United States and Canada and other nations are finding themselves upon arrival? In politicians' pockets. In oligarchs' pockets. Very few of them are actually ending up on the front line. It's one big junket, one big money laundering operation, because if you send money directly to these people, they will make legal your purchase at fire sale prices of the Ukrainian people's assets. This is the biggest lie in a long time When it comes to international politics, this entire war, which could have been avoided, the West is responsible for torpedoing peace in this country over and over and over again, and completely exhausting Russian patience with the process as we broke our word with the Minsk agreements. And I want to tell you, even though this is just a small piece of it, the Biden White House, the Biden family, the Biden crime syndicate has a huge role to play. This is an official U.S. government document, the Biden's influence peddling timeline. And Ukraine features here. This is Burisma. I'm not going to revisit this right now. The clear linkages between Hunter Biden representing his dad as president in Ukraine and offering his influence for dollar value is not a matter of, as Wikipedia calls it, the Biden-Ukraine conspiracy theory. Oh, how far Wikipedia has fallen when they deny reality so that they can pursue their political agendas. And then you have other things, too. You have this guy who attempted to assassinate the former and soon-to-be president who was responsible for trying to find recruits to send to Ukraine via Iran and other third parties, speaking on Romanian media, trying to drum up men to go and die uselessly in the Ukrainian war. The guy has ties to the deep state, if you want to call it the deep state, or we can just call it a more friendly term, the deep bureaucracy. The people who run the United States government, the people who run the empire in spite of politicians' wishes, and who actively oppose efforts to change the trajectory and to change the channel. This is not just one big series of coincidences. This is the corruption of the entire system and the entire mechanism that led to the Ukraine war laid bare. The facts bear it out. This is not about Ukrainian freedom. This is about who will dominate Ukraine and all of its people. And speaking of this, just as a side note, the headline here, and this is why this has been open on my desktop since it was released, prosecutors seek indefinite delay in trial of alleged Trump assassin over complex evidence. There's too much evidence. It's too complicated. It's too damaging for the system. So they want to delay a guy's trial who attempted to assassinate the second assassination attempt on a man running for president on a platform which includes getting out of the war in Ukraine. You can't make this stuff up. The media doesn't focus their attention on this. The media doesn't even tell you the full and complete story. Can you even imagine a world where this is real? Because I wouldn't fault you for not being able to imagine it, but it's real. In the midst of a European demographic crisis, with Eastern Europe presenting some of the last remnants of hope when it comes to stable demography, what a more terrible cause for hundreds of thousands and even millions of Ukrainians and Russians to die for than BlackRock and JP Morgan. The headline is BlackRock, JP Morgan are backing a $15 billion investor fund to rebuild Ukraine. Could cost $500 billion to reconstruct Ukraine. And who do you think is going to own that reconstruction? It's not just that BlackRock and JP Morgan and all the normal characters will dominate the reconstruction effort and make money on those contracts. They'll end up owning most of Ukraine when all is said and done. Now, I think there are many leaders in the West who understand fully exactly what's happening in Ukraine. I think Joe Biden is one of those leaders when he sent his son over to Ukraine to influence peddle, as he's done in many other nations. He knows exactly what he's doing, and I think he knows exactly where the money's going in spite of his declining mental health. We're talking about premeditation here. But more dangerous, even than them, see, I can respect somebody who is deliberate in their actions, even if I disagree with those actions. Respect and agreement are two different things. But what I think is even more dangerous and something I can't respect are people who are blissfully unaware And they just go along to get along. Justin Trudeau is one of those people. I don't think he has a clue what's actually happening in the world. I think his masters and his influencers, and I think the people that he sells $5,000 a plate fundraisers to, I think he takes his orders. I think he does what he's told. And I think he is blissfully and narcissistically completely unaware of what's happening in the world. But another such individual, even more dangerous, is Kamala Harris, who I'm not sure she's any more aware of where she is at any given time than Joe Biden is. And I'm going to show you an example now of just how tone deaf and terrible everything that comes out of this administration is, and how much more terrible it will be if Kamala were to assume the presidency. Just when you think suffering through the twin disasters of repeated storm hits on the southeast and the absolute lack of adequate federal response couldn't blow any harder, you have Tyler Atkins, who lists his pronouns, asking, can we make this situation gayer?
Sparked a few things in my mind, thinking about preparedness and how you said, you know, LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling.
I'll tell you what crisis we have in this country. We have a crisis of effeminate, fat-cheeked soy men in positions of power who make everything all about them and their pet causes. There are people suffering and dying, and there's going to be more people suffering and dying in Florida as of tonight. Harris spent the last 2 days trying to politicize a disaster before it even happened. Reporter, there are reports that DeSantis is ignoring your calls. Kamala Harris playing political games at this moment. It's utterly irresponsible, and it is selfish, and it is about political gamesmanship instead of doing the job that you took an oath to do. Harris never called DeSantis through any of the other storms that he's had to endure. She has been absent from the political scene, which is why, before she assumed the role that Biden vacated, the entire political left said she was a terrible candidate, but you couldn't get rid of her because she was DEI. I'm not kidding. This is not a right-wing talking point. This was what the left was saying. And DeSantis, of course, set the record straight by saying Kamala has been absent through every single disaster. She's the one politicizing it before it even happens. And Joe Biden even piled on, saying that DeSantis is doing a good job. When asked directly about Kamala's comments, he said DeSantis is doing a good job. DeSantis has his personal number, and it's a good time to focus on disaster relief. Look, DeSantis is facing a nightmare scenario with this storm, and she's worried about the fact that he hasn't called her or taken her call while he is directly interfacing with the people who do matter, the presidency, and broke FEMA, which is concerned about how to make storms more gay-friendly? What is this madness that we all collectively live in? There's a lot of things to worry about when it comes to Kamala Harris. Number one being the continuation of the Biden regime's disastrous policies. But it's even worse because she's so completely unaware. She doesn't even have good political instinct. She doesn't have a political mind at all. She's a little puppet. The most puppety of puppets you're ever going to see. She will do whatever she's told. She can barely think for herself. She doesn't even have the judgment and presence of mind before making a statement defaming Governor DeSantis before a disaster strikes. She doesn't even have the presence of mind to understand that that might be a bad idea when even Biden throws her under the bus. What are you going to do, America? Sure, you have a choice. You have one option. That option's Trump. He's the only one that might change the channel. But Harris, of all the mistakes America has ever made electorally, we are talking about somebody who is less aware of what's happening and what is appropriate, what is ethical. She can't answer questions. She's less aware than the senile man declining in front of our eyes that she is set to replace. And all the while, she pretends. And I can't even say she pretends with a straight face because she is a terrible liar. Have you not noticed how terribly she lies? Look, a good politician knows how to lie with a straight face. Justin Trudeau does it all the time. He is so slick. He's completely unbelievable. He's driven us all away. But he is so slick. You got to give him credit. He knows how to talk. He knows how to speak. And he knows how to lie fluently. That's a good politician. Kamala Harris can't even lie decently, let alone answer questions. It's one bad judgment, one terrible disaster after another. Do you really want her sitting in a position where the words that fall out of her mouth could actually affect the course of human history? Do you want anybody that would be under her command? Or do you want the people who are in her command who think she's a good idea to put in high office? Do you want them responsible for trying to resolve the Ukraine conflict? Do you want that person to be involved in trying to cut the Gordian knot that is Middle Eastern politics? Do you want that person, her controllers, and the people who would work for her, the people who would worry about disaster management not being gay enough? Do you really want them in charge of where the future goes? Baffles my mind how anybody could make that choice. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.